Welcome to the Semper Reformanda podcast. I tried to articulate that very well.
You
practicing
did.
My diction.
So you didn't say Semper Reformanda?
No. I did not say Semper Reformanda.
So, what did you say? Yeah. What did you say? You said it this.
I said Semper Reformanda, bro. I don't remember how that happened. Who knows? Who knows?
We had some people reach out to us. It was pretty funny.
Oh, I know. It was funny. We try to not take ourselves too seriously. So
I definitely don't take you serious at all.
I appreciate that. I know. Feel loved, valued. So good to chat with you.
Can I just say the one thing I am super thankful for about SR and this podcast is that it gives me a scheduled session every day with my dear friend Justin Perdue.
Oh my goodness.
And if it wasn't for the podcast, I wouldn't get to talk to him as much as I do.
That's
so
true.
I love it. So yeah, I'm so thankful that you are joining us on this journey and you get to hear me talk to one of my best friends in the world about Jesus and you want to hear it. And I'm glad you do because I want to talk to him about it.
And I mean, I think this is fair to say. I mean, like in part what John means, at least as that's landing on me, is that your partnership with us, even financially, makes Theocast possible. Because if you didn't do this, we couldn't produce the content that we do even generally. So
that's right.
You guys are helping all these people out there who we get messages from that some of you may know too, who are saying, man, this message of Christ has changed my life and this theology has changed my life or my marriage or whatever. You guys in partnering with us make that possible. So
yeah, if you want to see what you are doing, go read the newest reviews on iTunes. It's encouraging to hear how people are finding, they truly are finding rest in Christ and they're finding good churches. So
speaking of good churches.
So talk to me, Justin, if I was sitting across from you, so we're going to have a conversation for the benefit of these listeners. I am expressing to you that, man, Justin, I just can't seem to wrap my head around the fact that God really is saved me and that my faith is not produced by my own will, my own desire. Justin, help me as a congregant. How do I know that my faith is real? And what would you tell me as a pastor?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I would say welcome to our experience, to our struggle. I mean, this is I think in various ways and degrees, the testimony of every believer that I believe and help my unbelief, Lord. But, I believe and I am continuing to fight the fight of faith, wrestling with doubts and struggles, insecurities of all kinds. And how do I know? We say this a lot, that the assurance of salvation is a community project, which is where my answer is going to go.
That's right.
You need, at the most basic level, I mean, you need to become a part of a community where you're going to be able to lock arms with other people who struggle and wrestle like you, and who can point you to Christ and whom you can point to Christ. Mm. I think that a few thoughts, right? When I first began to have this conversation, like, how do I know my faith is real? Or I'm struggling with the legitimacy of my faith. What do I do? Like, what kind of counsel do you have for me? I mean, even, in thinking about your faith in the first place, I think it's really good to get hung up on God's grace and mercy. Like, I mean that in a good way. We tend to get really hung up on like reprobation and judgment and all that kind of stuff when we think about the sovereignty of God in salvation. But if anything, we should be shocked by the fact that God is so merciful and gracious to sinners like us.
That's
like
right.
Why, for example, the words of the hymn, Isaac Watts wrote, "How sweet and awful is the place." And there's a verse there that goes, "Why was I made to hear thy voice and enter while there's room, when thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come?" Mm. The answer to that is, I don't know, but he did that for me, right? He gave me faith. He showed me mercy and he showed me grace. And why did he show me mercy? Because he showed me mercy. Why did he give me grace? Because he's gracious and he did that. So like, I always love to have that conversation with people, because when you have that conversation, it does something to us, because we know deep down that's true. It's like, yeah, he's been merciful to me. And if he's been merciful to me in opening my eyes to Christ and who he is he not going to be faithful to keep me Of course he is. I mean, so I always love to start with that, or at least talk about that at some point in the conversation. And then I'm going to say, look, you can't do this by yourself. You will not do well alone. And so you, whether it's here, if I'm talking to somebody literally across the table from me here in Asheville, it's like, whether that's at CBC or that's another gospel preaching church in the area. If you want to know what some of those are, I could tell you, you need to be in one of those where you're going to have people who are going to love you, who in a Galatians 6, I know you're going to go to Ephesians 4, John, at some point, but yeah, to where you can be built up as a part of the body in love unto maturity, so that you can be taught sound doctrine, so that you're not blown to and fro every place. Galatians 6, so that you can be a part of a covenant community where people are going to bear each other's burdens, where if we go astray, we're going to be restored. You know, all of those things where we can lean on each other. Your faith, in every good way I could mean this, it's given to you by God, and it will be sustained through the ordinary means of grace, which I'm sure we're going to get into more, which is the preaching of the word, the administration of the Lord's table and baptism, prayer and song in the covenant community, the church gathered, right? Mm-hmm. When the church assembles and the fellowship of the saints is being experienced, God works there and he sustains us that way. But then in a general sense, you being a part of the church and experiencing the fellowship of the saints in an ongoing way is how your faith will be sustained and nourished and strengthened. The Lord will keep you, and he does it in a living and active way. So lock arms with your brothers and sisters for that.
That's right.
That's how I begin the conversation.
That's right.
And help them understand you're not crazy. I mean, what you're feeling is entirely normal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To carry the burden of the Christian life by yourself will weaken the strongest of Christians.
Good. It'll crush us.
Paul himself, when he found himself alone in prison, cried out to the church, please come visit me. come be with me, help me, encourage me. And even Peter says, go to those who are in prison.
Come see me, bring me some parchments in my cloak.
That's right.
Man, what an earthy message.
And then he describes when someone comes to him in prison, he described how encouraged he was by them and how uplifted and how thankful he was because the Christian life is never designed to be lived alone. No. And when we talk about going from weakness to strength, the key here to add to what Justin is saying, your growth in the Christian life is not you putting more time and effort in as isolated. It is going to take time and effort. It's going to take sacrifice.
It will.
But it's trusting in the gospel and trusting in the community that God has centered on the gospel. It's not you trying to trust the gospel on your own.
Yeah.
This is why there's so many passages that talk about consider how to build one another up. I mean, Hebrews 3 is so important when it says build each other up so you aren't hardened by the deceitfulness of sin.
Don't neglect assembling together.
That's right.
Stir one another up in love and good works.
So when you think about the glory of Jesus Christ, Paul does this where he will give you the foundation of Christ, and then he gives you the foundations of Christ's people by which then receive this, right? I love how he describes it in Ephesians 4. I know I keep saying this, but it's one of those things that you have to hold on to. Mm-hmm. He says that he gives us the word through the means of the shepherds and the teachers, verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry for building up the body of Christ. And what does it look like to be built up in the body of Christ? He says this, until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measures of the statures of the fullness of Christ. So he is expressing to you that to be built up in the body is to be in the fullness of Christ, to know more of Christ, to have a stronger faith in Christ, so that you aren't tossed about like a child.
Yep.
By waves, or by bad doctrine, or by human cunningness, or by the crafty, deceitful schemes. So he is saying, it's not you work harder. It's saying you, when functioning right in the body, your faith will become stronger. That's right.
Well, and it's like when the body functions properly. It's what he says. It builds itself up in love. And and what does that mean? Well, he's talked about the gifts of pastors, teachers, right? He gives those to the church. They teach sound doctrine. And then the whole body has a role. Every member of the body has a role, right? To a function to perform. Like we're all necessary. And then when we together live together as we ought, well, what does that look like, Justin? What does that look like, John? Well, love each other, sacrifice for each other, carry one another's burdens and sorrows, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, confess your sins one to another, you know, restore those who fall with a spirit of gentleness. We could go on and on and on and on.
Speak,
you know,
practice psalms hospitality. And hymns and spiritual songs to each other.
Practice hospitality, right? And then, but I'm just meaning even like in an ongoing sense. Forget, I mean, the assembly is clear. Preach the word.
Right.
Give the attention to the public reading of scripture. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to one another. Pray about all things. You know, that's clear. Yeah, but even just in this ongoing body life kind of idea, there's all these one another passages in the New Testament that we live together in this certain way. And when we do that, we're built up, we're strengthened, we're sustained, we're nourished, and there's some steel in the spine, right? Like we're grounded. We're standing on rock and not sand, and we're not getting knocked all over the place. But that happens as a corporate exercise.
That's right.
By yourself, you're going to get blown all over the place.
Right.
And I mean, just if you don't think that's true, let me just ask you this question. Like, talk to me about how you have felt about yourself and about the things of God over the last week.
That's right.
Talk to me about the full gamut of that experience and those emotions. And then let's just look at the spectrum. It's massive, right? There have been mountaintops and valleys and everything in between, times when you have felt all kinds of stuff about God and parts of the time where you're so apathetic, you don't know, I don't even know what I think about anything. And it's like, okay, well, if that's true, then listen to yourself. You vacillate like by the minute. You know, that's being right. blown around. Anyway, and you need your
brothers and sisters. All the language of strength, where he talks about the strength of the body, the strength of the church, the strength of the mission of the Holy Spirit.
It's not any one person.
No, when Paul says later on in Ephesians, grieve not the Holy Spirit, he's not talking about, okay, you doing the same sin over and over.
No.
He's saying the Spirit is what brings this power to the body. It's what strengthens it. And when you divide the body.
When you tear the body apart.
You're grieving. You're bringing sadness upon the work that should be happening.
Right.
Listen, I'm going to just switch this for a little bit and say, okay, hopefully you've been convinced of this. And this is what this podcast is for right now. Semper Reformanda, we need to reform the church. The church has lost its way. It's lost its pastors. It's lost the gospel. It's lost Christocentric preaching. And this whole podcast is worthless and we're wasting our time if we aren't taking this and saying, hey, let's actually obey God and see his power done. Where the weak and the frail and those broken and shattered by the world can walk into the church and say, living water is here. This is the breath of life.
That's right.
So those of you who are listening.
And come and drink of that living water without money and without payment.
That's right. Those of you who are listening, if you're a pastor, we're encouraging you, stay true.
Preach Christ.
You are providing the joy that cannot be found anywhere else. And if you're a congregant, encourage your pastor, stand next to him. Be there to shepherd those who need help and encouragement.
And find, I know we say this a lot, and I'm gonna maybe tell a little anecdotal story here in a second, but you got to find a local church where the gospel is preached and then lock arms with those saints and love them and support your pastors, like John said. And if you don't know of a church, find one and move if you have to. And then what our prayer and hope is that like-minded churches of, you know, this kind of confessional ilk and everything else, we're going to, John and I are working with some other people even now to try to see some things through as to how churches can partner together for, you know, just mutual accountability and confessional, you know, understandings and all these kinds of things and help for one another in a general sense, but also to plant churches and maybe see churches revitalized even, like life breathed into things. And so,
There's a movement happen.
I equate this very much. I'm always hesitant, like, to overstate. So, I'm not going to say that we're in an era like existed 500 years ago in the medieval church. I'm not going to go that far, though I think there are similarities between the medieval church and the evangelical church of today. I do. I equate this maybe more so to the Marrow controversy in Scotland. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, pick up Sinclair Ferguson's The Whole Christ. It'll give you a good overview of this situation. History matters, guys. And like that's because it repeats itself. There's nothing new under the sun. And when saying history repeats itself, there's a reason for that, because humans haven't changed. And so even in the church, you see things happen over and over again. And in that situation, in the 18th century, early 1700s, in the Church of Scotland, there was a controversy that erupted over some of these same things that we talk about today in terms of, is there anything required of people in order to come to Christ? You know, and how people answered that question is and that controversy in and of itself, it's remarkably similar to where we find ourselves today. And I sometimes will say, sort of behind closed doors, and now I'm saying it to you, I think that Theocast and many other brothers and sisters with us, not just of a 1689 ilk, but other Reformed confessional folks, we are the marrow brethren of our day. That's, I mean, right, where we are contending for the rest that's found in Christ, and the fact that, like we just said, come to Christ, trust him. It's free. Like, you don't have to pay for this. You don't earn this. It's given to you. And trust Christ and receive what he's done for you. And it means the world, right? I mean, it's everything. And so that's what's at stake here, I think, many of these conversations that we have and in what we're trying to do. We, not just you and me, John, but we, like Semper Reformanda, you know, confessional Christians here in our context, like we're aiming to recover something that's been confused. Well,
for the first time, I think Justin and I, we realize, one, the weight we carry. We know that there are people who genuinely desire to hear the glory of Christ because they're just not getting it in their churches. Yeah. And we appreciate that. Sure. We've planted churches. We have more churches being planted. I was on the phone today with a guy in Waco, Texas. We could go on and on and on. If I'm going to let you into the innards of my own soul, there was a moment when I started listening to The Rise and Fall of Mars Hill. Justin and I started having conversations about just, you know, what are we doing? What are we doing as a ministry? What are we doing as pastors?
Pastors, you know, as Theocast hosts, et cetera.
Right. Are we falling into the same traps as these men? And we take a lot of comfort in realizing that history is important. We pay attention to history. We obey the forms of structure that God has put in place as elders. And we hold to a sound doctrine that is far, far, far older than our own theological brains can handle.
And that's even way bigger than any one man.
That's right.
Right.
And
that's
the nature
of confessional theology.
Mm-hmm. And so there was some time I took some break even from Semper Reformanda, developing it from my own church, just so that we could reevaluate. What are we doing? Why are we doing this? And now that we're back, I am so excited to think that we are going to continue to be faithful husbands and faithful fathers. We're going to be faithful pastors. We're going to provide Theocast where we can. We're going to help plant churches, and we're going to wait and see what the Lord does. But I can tell you right now that because of you, Theocast continues to grow. More people are listening. More people are saying, wow, I've always struggled with my salvation, and I'm trusting Christ. So there's so much that's happening. I just want to say, as we close down, if you're discouraged, be encouraged.
Yeah.
God is at work. He's always at work. When it seems like it's dark, I know the church, I've heard about churches in Afghanistan that are just absolutely exploding right now. Maybe the worst word to use. They're growing right now. Yeah. And I take heart in that. Where there's persecution, God's work continues. Nothing will stop God. Not even the gates of hell will stop the gospel from going forward. Let's take heart in that.
Yeah, amen. I was going to tell a brief, just anecdotal piece, kind of circling back to where we were, but I don't know if there's time.
It's up to you.
I'll do it quick. So, you know, we were talking about, like, what do you do if you're struggling with your faith? And there's a guy, I'm not going to name anybody here for obvious reasons. There's a guy in our church he's been through a ton, and he's been really wrestling and struggling with what he believes about everything for a long time. I mean, for a period of 8 or 9 months, easy. He's really been struggling. But to his credit, in spite of all of these struggles and some of the things that he said to me and some of the other pastors, we're all good friends with him. He kept showing up, you know, and just being there and talking some and processing and wrestling. And we, you know, on our end, aim to love him and give him room to where it was legitimately, like, safe to flail and struggle. And we knew we were going to take a few, you know, just sort of rogue, like, whatever, wild shots to the face. I mean, you do sometimes when people are really struggling, you can get popped sometimes. And we knew that was going to happen, but continue to pray for him, continue to talk with him. He continued to show up. He continued to lean and be vulnerable and talk. And so it's been amazing to watch in recent weeks how, I mean, even by this own man, in this own man's words, like God has done something in me. I'm just moved by his grace to me and by his mercy on me. And I believe, I trust Christ, and he's given me a renewed love for the church, and I don't know where it's come from. And he's just, you know, he's there and he's emotional in services. He's talking with us through, you know, joy and tears, talking about all this stuff. But it's like, how does this happen? It's like, well, he didn't run away from the church, you know, and we trust that the Lord has used all kind of means that are living and active to keep this brother and to do this great work in his life. And I think he's just one of many examples we could give. But I mean, it can be real dark. And I mean, you can have times where you're like, I don't know that I believe, but I want to, kind of, you know, and I'm going to just keep coming and I'm going to keep talking, and I'm going to keep spending some time with my brothers and sisters, even if we kind of argue about some stuff and struggle with some stuff. And the Lord works. It's amazing to see God's mercy and grace on display, and you get to see that in the local church, you know?
Amen.
So,
all right. Anyway, well, thanks for listening.
Yeah, guys.
Hey, we're back up and running, so stay tuned. There's going to be a lot more coming. I've got some help again. Praise God for that. Amen. A lot of you reached out. I appreciate that. And, if you've not jumped into the live tavern, let's do it. I'll probably shoot out a thing and just say, hey, let's take 10 minutes and JP and I will be in there and come say hi. You get to video chat with us. So, all right, JP,
cool.
I think that's it.
That is it. We, again, are appreciative of you. I hope that's come through, even in what we've said today. Thank you for partnering with us in all the ways that you do. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for the support and encouragement, the kind words you send. We're grateful for you, and we're all in this together. As brothers and sisters in Christ in general. And let's continue to pray that the Lord will advance this word of the sufficiency of his son, right? Let's keep heralding Christ and loving each other. So we'll have this conversation again next week, we trust, with you. Until then, grace and peace.